We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are thankful that you have joined us today and pray that you are having a marvelous week. Today we're going to begin looking at the declarations, the confessions that Craig Groeschel has put together for men to pray over their lives, declare over their lives. And so we're going to begin with that today. Do want to say that the kids conference, we've still got tonight and tomorrow night, 6:30. And so if you haven't got to come thus far, put that on your calendar for tonight, 6:30, and we will get the kids in and out pretty quickly. They have a great time. This is not vacation Bible school from when I was growing up. I'll tell you, this is high energy. It's worshiping Jesus, and you know, I'll tell you all also this, it might be a little bit on the loud side, so not the loudest thing you ever heard, but it's not going to be the quietest thing you ever heard either. But the kids have a great time. Pray that you will come out and check that out tonight at 6:30. So today let's get into the word, and let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and let's start reading with verse number 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or deceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And just as we were talking about with the declarations over women in their lives, these over men also would apply to ladies. These are just some declarations that he's put together that would be some issues that men may have a little more propensity to falling victim to. And so this one says, I lay down my pride and selfishness, giving all glory to the one true God. I lay down my pride and selfishness, giving all glory to the one true God. Verse number 3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. And a lot of times our pride can get into our way. I don't remember exactly which one of the movies that it was. It was one of the Back to the Future movies. And it was one where Marty McFly, he was constantly getting in trouble because people were challenging him and they would call him chicken, and then his pride would kick in and he would end up getting in trouble because he would say, okay, now I've got to demonstrate that my pride is in this way. Pride is never a good thing. I mean, now we need to have a healthy self-esteem, but we can never fall victim to pride. I've heard it said that God hates all form of pride, especially religious pride. Especially religious pride. Pride will position you to be unteachable. Pride is very dangerous because it says, I can't be taught anything in this situation. Pride will not only position you that way so that others can't teach you, but it will position you in such a place where you will fight being taught. You will fight being taught. And yesterday we talked about how we're supposed to be loving and laughing, not fighting and complaining. And so we need to recognize the dangers of pride for what they are. If we will not give the glory to God, which is what it talks about here, we will find ourselves in the same position that one of the Herods ended up in the book of Acts, where people said, this is not the voice of a man, this is the voice of a God. And Herod was lifted up inside of himself. And instead of giving glory to God, he was struck down. He literally died there at that time. And it was because of his pride. It was pride that brought down Nebuchadnezzar. It was him. Look at all that I have built. And we need to realize that it is only because of the goodness and the greatness of God working inside of us that we are able to accomplish anything. So Paul said, I'm not going to boast about anything other than Jesus Christ. Now, if we were going to get into a boasting contest, Paul said, I would be qualified. I'm very highly skilled to be boasting. I've got the right heritage. I've got the right training. I've got the right schooling. I've got the right experience. I'm positioned to boast, but I'm not going to boast about anything but Jesus. Pride is very dangerous. I said this to a person, and that is, God opposes the proud. I mean, it's nothing that it didn't originate with me. God opposes the proud. So why would I want to position myself where instead of God being for me, he is standing in opposition to me? So why would I want to do that? Why would I do that to myself, positioning myself in opposition against God, who is omnipotent, almighty, omniscient? He knows what I'm going to do before I even do it. It's a no-win situation. Why would I position myself in pride where that will deprive me of receiving the grace that God wants me to have? God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so those things are very, very important. And sometimes that pride will sneak up on you. It manifests in a way. Let me say this. Pride will not only manifest itself in an overt manner, but it will manifest itself in a covert manner. Sometimes it will manifest itself by saying this: oh, well, I've just sinned too much. There is no way that Jesus could forgive what I've done. He might be able to forgive other people of what they've done, but he would never be able to forgive me of what I've done. What I've done is so horrible that he could never forgive me. That is just pride putting on a different mask. That person that says, I can't do this because even though he's an almighty God, he could never work in me to such an extent that he could help me to achieve that. That is pride manifesting itself by depriving us of partnering with God to accomplish God's purpose in what he wants us to do. Pride is a multifaceted thing, and it is evil. It is evil. A proud look, a haughty spirit, both of these things, they don't set you up for success. They set you up for a fall. And isn't it interesting how the world holds people up who are proud of their talents? You know, I'll be honest with you. I always struggled when it came to job resumes and things like that, because it was like, okay, I've got to put out there all that I've done, and it was exactly the opposite of what we're supposed, you know, what we're taught as Christians, and that is to give all the glory to God. So we're thankful for what God partners with us to do, and so we celebrate that, but we don't want pride to take root in our heart, because it will send its tentacles into every area of our relationship. Pride will destroy a marriage. If you aren't careful, pride will slip in, and it will be very detrimental to your marital relationship. I have seen situations where one spouse or the other had to be told, okay, you are right. They had to be told you are right all the time about everything. And if not, then there was extreme discord in the home. There was only one way to end an argument, and that was for that one person to be told, okay, you are right. And whenever that's the case, whenever you've got to say, okay, you are right, what you are insisting on is that there's also a declaration that you were wrong. Okay, one person's right, the other person is wrong. Pride sets you up in opposition to other people. Pride is not comparing ourselves with Jesus. Pride is comparing ourselves with other people. And so we get puffed up instead of edified. Pride inflates where God wants to build you up, not puff you up. And so I lay down my pride and selfishness. Selfishness is one of those things that you never have to teach somebody. You have to teach them to be unselfish. You go to any daycare. You never have to teach a child to say mine. They know it all by themselves. It's not something that sharing rarely comes naturally to people. It's something that it says, no, I want this. And I've seen situations where somebody didn't want the toy until somebody else wanted it. And then they said, no, that's my toy. That's the one I'm playing with. And then it was on. The more we mature in our relationship with Jesus, we're going to realize that we don't have to be selfish because we've got someone looking out for us better than what we could look out for ourselves. So I encourage you to lay down your pride, lay down your selfishness, don't fall for that trap, and give all the glory to God. We talked about that. Let me take you over to the book of Ephesians just a second. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So just over one book, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So he says, if you're saved, it's not because you were so smart. It wasn't because of anything. It's simply by the grace of God. It's because of the faith, and God gave you that faith in the first place. And so it is the gift of God, not of works, because God doesn't want anyone boasting about their accomplishments. I've heard a lot of people who said, you know what, if you don't brag on yourself, nobody else is going to brag for you. But the scripture says, let another man praise you, not the words coming from your own lips. So you and I, we need to make sure that we are humble, and that when God does something through us, that he is the one who gets the glory. It's absolutely vital. It's absolutely essential. Give all the glory to the one true God. Ephesians, while we're there, let's turn over just a little bit to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse number 25. And it says, their husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, I've been doing ministry for a long time, and I have seen a lot of marital success and a lot of marital failure. I have seen a lot of men who tried to demand submission from their wives because of verse number 22, wives submit to your own husbands, not realizing that verse number 21 says submitting to one another in the fear of God. And so these husbands would be mean and abusive and nasty. They'd treat their wives badly, and then they would say, you've got to submit to me because that's what the Bible says. Now, it does say that. It does say that wives are supposed to submit. And that word submission literally means under mission. Okay? And so the wives live under mission, but we also both live under mission. What is God's mission? God's mission is for our home to be a reflection of his glory and an adequate reflection of Christ's relationship with the church. Okay? So can we understand that our marriage is supposed to be not about how big a house, not about how big a car, not about the fancy clothes and the fancy title and all that sort of stuff, but living under the mission of glorifying God as he has ordered our steps and directed our path, and we have entered into this new relationship, and this relationship is supposed to represent to the world the same type of relationship that Christ has for the church. That's what this verse says specifically. Okay? So let me ask you, which came first? The church coming under Christ's mission, or Christ loving the church? The actual answer is what came first was Christ loving the church even while it was at enmity against God, fighting against God, disobedient to God, rebelling against God. And Jesus came in such a manner that he laid down his life for the church even while it was at enmity with him. He laid his life down for the church even before it came into full fruition in Acts chapter 2. There was already, from before the foundation of the world, Jesus was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And guys, that is the picture of how we are supposed to treat our wives. We are supposed to be willing to give our very lives for her when necessary. There's a lot in this little passage, but so anytime we are dealing with with any premarital counseling or marital counseling, I start with the guy first because, guys, we've got to get our part right. If we get our part right, then the wives are going to have a very easy time in submitting to the relationship the way that God intends for it to be. I'm not, as the husband of the household, I'm not the dictator. I'm there to lay down my life for the church. I've got a responsibility to my wife. Now, you can talk to my wife and she will tell you, Pastor Bob takes his responsibilities as my husband very seriously. We've are very, very serious about that. So let me show you some of the things that Jesus says about his attitude towards the church. He loved the church and gave himself for her. And so that means I'm willing to lay down my plans at times so that my wife can understand that I'm willing to give everything so that she can be everything she's supposed to be, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So if we want our marriage to be an adequate reflection of God, then we need to realize that we need to be men of the word. We need to know the word. We need to live the word. We need the word to become manifest inside of us, and that we declare and confess and pray over our wives the word of God. What would happen if we came home every night and instead of telling our wives, you know, how much problems there are and all that sort of stuff, what if we came home and said, there's the perfect gift from God that he has for me? What if we came home and said, you know, there's the perfect gift that God had for me, and I am just so blessed to have you in my life. God has been so good to me by bringing you into my life. What if we said, you know what, because I've known people that have told their wives that they were stupid, that they were worthless, and that they were idiots. I mean, that's not the way to build them up. That's not going to separate them unto a holy calling. But what if we said, you know what? I see God's purpose in you. I see the beauty of God in you. I know that God has chosen you and placed you for such a time as this. Just like Esther, you are positioned by God. You are separated for his purpose. And use the word not as a weapon, but as a tool to build them up. Not as a weapon to tear down, but as a tool to build up. Can I tell you, I learned that the hard way. You see, when my wife and I got married, we did not have the benefit of having a lot of marriage counseling beforehand. I won't get into that story. It was a complicated endeavor. We started marriage counseling, and we got one session in, and the person who was doing the marriage counseling changed the circumstances on us, shall we say. And so I didn't always realize that things that I was doing were having a detrimental effect on my wife instead of building her up. And so I do realize that now. Guys, if you rather than complaining about your wife, why don't you say, honey, could I pray for you? Could I pray for you? And I tell you what, when you start praying for your wife instead of praying against your wife and saying, God, would you hurry up and change her? A lot of times when we're proud, we see the problems in other people without seeing the problems in ourselves. And saying, God, hurry up and change her, change her, change her, change her. And all the time, God say, you know, why don't you recognize that I look at her as the apple of my eye? I'm the lover of her soul. I created her, and I'm refining her, but I need to refine you too, and you need to represent me better. I didn't say this, you know, this guy thing was easy. You know, I tell people, that women oftentimes hate Mother's Day because women end up getting compared to the Proverbs 31 woman. And we've talked about in earlier broadcasts about godly comparisons and ungodly comparisons. And every Father's Day I say, now you ladies, you might not like being compared with the Proverbs 31 woman, but let me tell you, we've got it harder because the Proverbs 31 woman was just that. She was a woman. We get compared to the Father, to the Heavenly Father, who's perfect, who knows all things, who can do all things, who never fails. And we can't measure up. So, and it says here that the purpose is to present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And so the things that we do, guys, I want you to begin to evaluate the words that you speak to your wife, the things that you do for your wife, and say, am I in preparation mode for presentation, that there's not going to be any blemish there? There's not going to be any spot there. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. There's one thing that is most assuredly going to set me in a bad attitude towards another man, and that is if he is abusing his wife. Okay? I want you to understand, you will not win friends with me. You will find that I have a very different mindset. If I find out that you are abusing your wife, I am not going to be endorsing you. I am going to be confronting you, because you're not supposed to be treating your wife that way. You're supposed to be loving, not abusing her. And so it says, nevertheless, verse number 33, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Do you realize that the scripture says over and over and over again, husbands, love your wives? It's not simply a one-time thing. It's in there multiple times. Only one time is there a reference to women being taught to love their husbands. There's only one passage that it deals with, but it's multiple places where husbands are reminded, love your wives, love your wives, love your wives. To the point that it reminds us here in verse number 31, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Do you realize that Jesus left his heavenly home and he came and he gave himself for the church? And then he went back to heaven and he's been preparing a place for you and I to dwell with him forever. Guys, let's set our life on a course where we will confess, I am going to love my family like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for. I am going to focus all of my efforts. I'm going to abandon everything that tries to distract me from this purpose of creating a loving home, a beautiful home, a place where my bride is going to shine for the glory of God. Pray the word of God over your wife. Pray the blessings of God over her life. Give yourself for your wife. Bring her gifts. Compliment her on the strengths that she has. You know what? If you'll spend more time focusing on her strengths, you will find that her weaknesses will begin to fade into the background, and you'll recognize God gave you a wonderful gift. Have a great day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.